Well, family, today is a really special day because today's Mission Sunday. And so what I briefly want to do is just give you a little bit of instruction, I guess, of what we're going to do, why we're doing it, and a little of the heart behind it, and then we're going to dive in. So this is a day where instead of hearing from me, we get to hear from our different ministry leaders and missionaries in the church. And there are six plus one, you'll kind of hear how that is, six missionaries in the church and one in-house ministry that you hear about often, the Faith in Action ministry that really functions as a support for the other ones, and Bob will share about that at the end. And so we're going to get to hear about these seven ministries and what all God's doing, and this is always a favorite Sunday of mine each year because I wish we had time to do three or four of these throughout the year. There's new people. There's so many new people in the church. I think of the new people in the last 6 months, and they have almost no idea of what's going on. Or you get some idea from being in the back and seeing the different brochures and things that Kelly's been so gracious to put together for us, but not like this. And so this is going to be a really special time. They're going to share. I will call each one of them forward. So I'll speak in between each of them, and then afterwards, I'll give you some more instructions, but afterwards, they've all set up tables on the patio, and we'll go out that way and have some food and love on them. They have about just a few minutes each to be able to hear from all of them here. Each one of them could preach a whole sermon easily, length of time, on what's going on, so there's way more to be said than what they're going to say. This is just going to be a little snapshot, a little summary of what's going on. And so I just want to encourage you in a couple of ways, but one, this would be the main one. I just encourage you to approach the rest of our time this morning with the assumption that God has something for you, and more specifically that I've used this adopt a missionary language in the past, and the goal there is for every one of us to have at least one of these missionaries or one of these ministries, possibly more, but at least one that's ours, that we're going to stay in contact with them, we're going to pray for them, we're going to support them, whatever that looks like, this is going to be the one we're staying in contact with and coming alongside to love on them and encourage them and bless them, support them in whatever ways that they need. So I just encourage you to be thinking that way. And if you're not already doing that, be discerning for the rest of our time, perhaps what God may have you do, what that may look like. And then as he's leading that, we go out on the patio and we can ask deeper questions and hear more extensively of what's going on and how we can get involved. And so that's part of the goal here is to hear who these people are, what their ministries are, what they're about, what they're doing, what God's doing through them, and then how we as a church body can get involved, how we can support them, whether that's financial support or prayerful support or getting involved, boots on the ground, if they need help doing something. So they're going to share all these needs with us and what all that looks like. And I just encourage you to have this open mind and a discerning mind, not mainly what you want or what I want, but what does God want here? What does God have for me? So I just encourage you to approach it that way. And then I encourage you to don't leave after service. In fact, after service, I've been told we're not opening that door. We're opening that door, and there'll be the gate out on the patio will be open, and the back door will be open as well. But we want to encourage you to go that way. And please don't leave real fast. We want you to go on out there and just love on these brothers and sisters of ours. They are boots on the ground. They are carrying out the Great Commission very practically. And one thing that thrills me, and I love this, well, several things, but I'm trying to keep this short. One thing that really thrills me is that these missionaries are not a result of this church pushing outreach and missions. We're just being the church. And we're trying to support and enable and be a resource. And then God is calling people to function as he's gifted them and called them. And so these are I say autonomous in a sense. These are missionaries with their own ministries doing their own thing. And we come alongside them and support them best that we can. And so it's not been something that the church has really driven and they've responded, but rather God is doing this and we're just kind of along for the ride and helping where we can. And so I'm just thrilled by that. I don't think that's the norm in a congregation of this demographic. So many want to just kind of retire, I'm done, and that's just not true of this church, which is incredible. God is so present, so active, and there's so much going on. So get connected with them, love on them, bless them, encourage them, don't leave too quickly. And I'm so excited for the rest of this morning. Let me pray, and then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all that you're doing in this church, and specifically all that you're doing through these missionaries and ministry leaders. You've burdened them with a heart for children and a heart for adults and for students and prison inmates and on and on. There's so many different things going on. This is not six or seven ministries doing the same thing. They're all doing so different things, and I find that to be incredible. And evidence of what you're doing, you working in this. Lord God, I pray that you'll open our eyes. I pray that you'll soften our hearts. I pray that you'll enable us to discern well how you would have us respond to this morning, not mainly as a consumer, but as one to get involved and to get plugged in and to come alongside at least one of these missionaries. They all have needs. And so I just pray that you'll knit this body. I just look out, and I know there's 140 people in this room, and we could have 25 people come along, every single one of these missionaries, and that would be incredible. And so, Lord God, I just pray that you'll do that, that you'll work that. I pray that you'll meet needs that I don't even know about. And we ask that you'll be honored and you'll be glorified, and we ask that you'll speak through each one of these that come up to share. We just ask that your spirit, you will fill them, and that you will give them your words and your ability to share. And if there's things that they haven't thought of that you want them to talk about, Lord, we ask that you'll prompt them and that they'll be obedient to follow you and to share as you lead them. So we commit this time to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. David is first. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. I get the opportunity to go first. And this morning while I was having my cup of coffee, the Lord brought, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. But I think Brian just needed somebody to go first, so I volunteered. We're called Harvest Hope Panama. This is a coffee farm ministry. We sponsor a pastor, Pastor Benjamin, and his sister Abelina. They are Nobe. Nobe, ministering to the Nobe. Sometimes we come in there with our American or Canadian mindset, and we just want to give, and we feel like, oh, we got to do this. But sometimes when giving hurts, when we give too much or we do things. So working with a Nobe pastor, that sort of tethers our wanting to overindulge in giving is very important. So we are ministering up here on the Baru. We have a coffee farm up there. During the harvest season, which starts shortly, we'll be hosting 30 to 50 adults plus that many children on our farm. They come in on buses from the comarca. They end up camping on our farm. So I have a colony of people there from the Nobe culture. Weekly, we have activities for the children, Sunday worship, Sunday school, focusing on reading and writing in the Nobe language. A meal is also provided for those that attend during the harvest season. That's 60 to 100 plates of food each week that we provide on Sundays. So everybody gets a good meal, chicken, rice, beans. Just a plug for Bob afterwards. The rice and beans that you guys give, thank you so very much. That is very helpful. Next week, I'm online for the mission group that gets it. So when you give this next week, bring some more. We need some more. In addition to that, we've started another part of our ministry. According to the Oxford Constitution of 1408, The translation of the text of the Holy Scripture out of one tongue to another is a dangerous thing. This is what the mindset in the 1400s. Therefore, we enact and ordain that no one henceforth do by his own authority translate any text of the Holy Scripture into English tongue or any other, nor let any such be read in whole or in part, in public or private. That was the law some 500 years ago. William Tyndale was executed October 6th, 1536, first strangulated and then burned at the stake for doing just this, translating scriptures out of Latin into English. You know, the Bible that we have, we cherish this. We can read our God's word in our own language. Today we have that Bible in part because of William Tyndale believed, and he gave his life so that we would have God's word in our own English language. After 500 years, the Nobe still do not have this. They have the New Testament. That's it. We're still waiting on the Old Testament, all those good stories, the things that we learn from that. Many of the Nobe, even if it was written down, struggle to read and write their native language, yet alone Spanish. Those that have phones, if you ever watch them, they'll communicate with each other with these devices, but they never text. They record their voice, and they send the recording to somebody else to listen to. Even though we have the Bible in both Spanish and only the New Testament, they can't read. So the solution. So we're excited to assist Pastor Benjamin and partner with YWAM here in Puerto Rios with the project of the audio Bible in Nobe. Pastor Benjamin is a tent maker. When to support his family, he uses a weed whacker and cuts Americans' lawns. His training was in translating into Nobe. He was part of the team of a mission, German missionary that came to Panama, spent her entire life here translating, and their project was to translate the New Testament into Nobe from Spanish. So this is what his education is what he's done for his whole life. So we're trying to sponsor him on a weekly basis. We have young people coming from the Comarca and different areas, and we have other Indian groups at YWAM that are doing the translations of their language and then recording it into an audio file that we can then play on their phones and have proclaimers. There are other audio devices that they can use to listen to the scriptures. Our goal is to complete the Old Testament and the New Testament. We currently have the first 12 chapters of Genesis, the book of Ruth, the book of Esther, Jonah, and we're starting in Ephesians right now. This is going on weekly right now. So, if you'd like some more information to get involved with these activities, either at the farm and working with Abelina with the kids, you can participate with us. First of all, flip the page here. You can pray for our ministry. I have a little scan card. Everybody knows what these things are. You can scan these with your phone. So come back. I have this. You can get information. I'll put you on our WhatsApp list so that you can see what's happening and you can pray for us. Second, you can get involved with Abelina and the activities. Abelina is Pastor Benjamin's sister. She was also involved with the translations. Third, there are construction projects for men and some of the ladies if you'd like to get your hands dirty. Fourth, we're needing drivers on Sunday every once in a while when I cannot drive. I have a van that we drive the Nobe team up from town here to the farm to do the programs on Sunday. So we have a Sunday program every week. It's a church program. It's another church. Fifth, Harvest Hope supports Pastor Benjamin and Abilene as missionaries to their culture. This includes a Bible project. Funds are needed for this support. Sixth, supporting Harvest Hope can be as simple as enjoying a cup of coffee, risen coffee. The coffee that we have here at church is risen coffee. So if you like the taste of it, that's my coffee. I pick it, I harvest it, I roast it. It goes here for the church. If you would like to enjoy this coffee at your own home each morning, this would be supporting our ministry. So thank you so very much. I appreciate the time and opportunity. And thank you so much for those that have already participated with us, driving the van. A couple guys have helped out driving the van. A couple of the men have come out and done work projects. Thank you so very much for helping us. And we look forward to meeting you out in the back there. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I'm just encouraged by this ministry, and there's so much more that can be said, and I'll just add some of what I do know is that what happens on Sundays, it's a Sunday afternoon church service, and I know that many children who have never heard the gospel have been reached through this. It's been both outreach and discipleship. Both are happening. There's active teaching happening every week, and so this is just incredible. Amen. Jim Fuller is next with Journey Panama.
I'm the Jim in that group. Rhonda's in my ministry over the last couple of years has migrated mostly to the Nobe and mostly Nobe children. We've had a strong presence in the schools locally, Palmyra and Boca Chica particularly. But this year, early in the year, there was an incident at Boca Chica where some group brought in a refrigerator they had to pry open with wrecking bars. And I guess there was some kind of spores in there. Several people got sick, got hospitalized. And Maduka, the school board, said no more. They're not letting anybody into the schools. Well, we kind of thought that had blown over, so we started applying again. And this time, the teachers had been on strike, and the kids had been out of school for 6 weeks. So not learning anything. So now they're behind, and they're not allowing anyone into the schools. Even the fall Bible month was canceled. So we're aiming for next year for that. But our ministry with the local finca, the farms, coffee farms, are going nicely. At Jaramillo, we had 5 baptisms this year, three ladies and 2 teenagers. And the ministry near our home, we're expecting probably 4 more from there this year. The finca in Jaramillo belongs to Price Peterson, one of his many farms. And we have maybe 25, 30 right now as they come in to pick coffee. That'll go to 100 kids. The finca near our house started off in the street in front of our house several years ago. It's migrated to our property and around the house to on the street, and now we're meeting at a bus stop where 3 different fincas can come together. We had met in the finca itself, but that excluded outsiders. So that's going well, and we appreciate your help with all that. Schools, we do hope to start back next semester, which will start in March. We do appreciate your help. We need help moving people, moving equipment. But even more than that, what your presence with these kids is it tells them they're important. It gives them status. And that is so important to reach these kids. Let me think. You see pictures up here from Palmyra and Boca Chica School, and those kids, we miss that. But that we had the closest relationships we have are with the kids in the fincas. We do need financial support, and we need personal help. And you can talk to us back at the table, and we'll tell you what you can do. You also can sign up for a newsletter that we're hoping to get started. We've never gotten it really off the ground. What else? We do have an additional ministry that many of you men help us start, trying to reach the unchurched expatriates in this community. And boy, there are a lot of them. But it's turned into pretty much just a men's Bible study. We still need help to get out and reach out to these people who don't know Christ. Some of them not only not know, but they are against, very much so. So that's pretty much our ministry. If you join us at our table, we can tell you more. Okay.
Amen, amen. As long as I've known Jim, he's been up to his eyeballs in involvement with these different groups, and every time there's been a school that he can get jumped into and an opportunity to be able to share the gospel and pour into these, especially the children, he's been all over it. I love that about you, Jim. I don't know if it's accurate to say you're an evangelist at heart, but you seem like one, and then you love to just pour into these children. And that's a common theme in some of the, not all the ministries are children related, but several of the ministries are reaching the younger generations, and that's so important. So thank you so much, Jim. Yvonne and Enoch are next.
Good morning, family. I'm Yvonne, and this is Enoch, and we are Missionary Assist Panama. We call ourselves MAP for short. Our 501c3 nonprofit helps pastors and fellow missionaries carry out the Great Commission. Enoch preaches, prays, evangelizes, mentors, and he's the muscle man. And he's also a puppet man. I saw him. I'm the administrative lady, driver, prayer, shopper, and expert vegetable chopper-upper. MAP has ministries almost every day of the year. Every day of the week. MAP has two street ministries. One is here in Boquete, and we have people sitting here who came out of that ministry. Most of them got baptized. And we have one in David that we're setting up. We're getting close to getting that. We need volunteers. We need to line it up. In God's timing. Okay. We have a David prison ministry. Like I say, pray. Take time to find out what kind of spiritual issues prisoners have, and pray for the ministry teams inside and outside the prison. They work so hard every day. Another ministry is sitting at the table at the Thursday Boquete Market. That's an easy thing to volunteer for, you guys. We need volunteers. You would collect donations that people bring in, like clothing and hygiene products. We have bags of coffee that people can purchase to help fund the ministries. Your volunteering frees up Enoch and myself from sitting at the table, which allows us to do things like go to Bible study or catch up on personal work at the house or have a break. We have a David Hospital ministry called Project Love on Fridays. This ministry was started by Suzanne and Wade Winkler after Suzanne experienced the regional hospital firsthand. Yeah. We supply for the needy patients essential personal items that they need but aren't provided for when they are admitted into the hospital. We're praying and sharing Bibles with anyone, patient, visitors, or revolving staff who are interested. We only go when we have a pastoral team available. The atmosphere literally changes when we visit. When you bring the light of God, you change the atmosphere. A lot of depression and fear is lifted. Pray for our Map House Church Ministry. We're supplying, well, we have a Nubby Church at our house. We're supplying Pastor Venancia and his congregation a place to do church. We don't want them to be dependent on us. We want them to be the church, not us. We provide the food items and facilities for them to cook for themselves and eat together at their gathering. They wash the dishes and clean up when all is done. As they are poor, we also give them bus money to attend this gathering. Also pray for the Dump Church Ministry, which is for Nobes, led by Carmen Medina, which happens at the same time as the Map House Church Ministry on Saturday. Okay, I have here, pray for Audio Bible Project that David Peck just told you all about. He did a wonderful job. It's called the Oral Mother Tongue. You know, lots of us are doing our best to contribute to that effort because it's very important. I'll add to what David Peck said. In Numbers, each translator needs 250 per month and 4,000 in total. So there's a lot of need there. And David Peck would be the perfect person to go to for that. For people who have the heart for serving the indigenous Indian people, every one of our ministries serves some of the neediest Indians. The ones on the streets, in the hospitals, and in the prisons. We serve Indians in Alto Boquete and in the Comarca 2.5 hours away. Sometimes our financial help reaches into the Darien in Bocas del Toro. A lot of our clothing donations go out to ministries serving on coffee farms, the dump, and in the Comarca. So please, pray that we stay close to God and hear his strong voice as we navigate our day-to-day decisions. Pray for our health. Pray for our protection against spiritual attacks. Pray that we love Jesus more and more every day and shine his light far and wide. We thank you and we bless those of you who have come up alongside us to help MAP Ministries. You guys make us feel so loved. And I forgot to mention, pray for Pastor Janero Hernandez and his 6 churches in the Comarca that we help with. Okay.
Thank you so much. Daryl and Denise are up next. I don't even know what to comment on with Yvonne and Enoch's stuff. They're Superman and Superwoman. There's not much they're not doing. They're doing so much. I think if there was one single ministry in the room that had such a wide variety of stuff that could utilize any number of giftings that we have, it's probably theirs. So I just I commend your ministry and thank you for all the ways you're being used by the Lord and serving him. And we didn't get to see and hear much from Enoch, but this man has a passion. He's an evangelist at heart. He loves to share the gospel and reach people, and it's really evident. So we thank you guys. All right, you too.
Good morning, family. Good to see all your smiling faces. We are Daryl and Denise Aish, and we have a ministry here in Panama called The Bridge. Just kidding. I couldn't help myself. She's actually going to share too. So we moved here to Panama 10 years ago with no intention of being missionaries. So those of you who have just recently moved to Boquete, watch out. God could have some things in store for you. He made it abundantly clear through a series of circumstances we were supposed to start a ministry here, so that's what we did. What we do primarily is discipleship, and we do that through Bible studies, through mentoring, one-on-one mentoring, through teaching and preaching, and various other methods. But our focus has always been on discipleship. The reason we are called The Bridge is because we try to bridge that gap between spiritual infancy and spiritual maturity. And that's where discipleship comes in. Super, super important. So I'll let Denise now share a little bit about what she does.
If you only knew, I'd rather be sitting with you guys. But I'm excited to share. It's good to see you all this morning. Thanks for joining us on this special Sunday. Okay. A few years back, God led me to lead Bible studies. And so I started one in Boquete, and then since then I've started two online studies. We have wonderful times sharing fellowship each week as we meet in small groups to discuss God's Word. There's a power in studying the Bible, but it's amplified when we do it together in a group. One of my favorite verses that has encouraged me in leading studies is Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So learning things from the Bible is super important. It helps us understand why we believe what we believe. So that information is important. But we need to allow it to go to the heart level to help us have that deeper relationship with God and just feel it and live it out. Let the Holy Spirit do his work in our lives. So as I lead the studies, we do our homework during the week, studying God's word in a certain passage. Then we come together for our Bible study and share what we've learned. And then we get to apply it and talk about how it really affects our everyday lives. This isn't just random knowledge. This is, how does this impact my life? And it's very transformative. And then as we mature in our faith, we not only impact our own lives, we impact the lives around us. We can encourage each other, and we can be a witness to those that we meet throughout our everyday lives. So if you haven't checked out the Bible studies here at BBF, do so. And if you'd like to check out what I'm going to be doing soon, with a searching the scriptures study, meet me at the table in the back. I'd love to chat about it.
All right. My part in the ministry is primarily speaking. We do travel quite a bit, go to the Comarca and Bocas del Toro. We work with several different churches, especially an association of churches, the largest association of indigenous churches here in Panama. And we work with several of their churches, but we also work with a local church, the one here in Palmira where we live. You'll see some of them actually right there. We helped out with their Christmas program and buying gifts for the children, and that was a wonderful time. I've spoken there on several occasions. The two pastors we primarily work with in Bocas are Pastor Marcelino and Pastor Modesto. And we are helping with a couple of churches, specifically one in Chiriqui Grande that has not yet built their building. And so we're helping them with the finances for that, construction materials and so forth. And then a church just over the mountain in Piña, right on the shore. It's a little indigenous fishing village. And Larry and Wendy have been out there with us. And we're helping them with a number of things. It's completely remote, no electricity, no running water, no internet. And so we're helping them with a generator and a backup power and sound system once they have electricity. We're helping them to put tiling on the floor of the church to build out a kitchen so that they can hold other events, various things like that. We're thinking about solar in the future. So lots of different things. We've really kind of focused in on this church because there's so many needs there. Also, we work with a church in Alto Caballero that's a part of this association. So our good friends Arturo and Raquel, and we've been up there distributing food and Bibles, and I was able to preach there. It's a huge church, the largest addition to church I've ever been to, about 300 people. Very, very large. They're doing an incredible work there. I speak, I do marriage and parenting seminars around Panama. I have the privilege of knowing Spanish, so that's kind of cool. And so that's part of what I do. We gave a parenting seminar in Almirante this year. And we have been recently asked to build out our marriage seminar, one-day seminar, into a weekend retreat. And so we're both going to be working on that. Denise partners with me on that. Whenever we do marriage seminars, she's a part of that. And so we're going to be doing a weekend retreat at some point, several places around the country, and that's kind of cool. This coming year, I'm going to be restarting what we had several years ago, which was a Spanish group here in this church. And so we'll be doing that probably right after service. For those of you that speak Spanish, we'll be doing a Searching the Scriptures study as well to teach you how to study the Bible, how to get into it for yourself, and learn what God has for you there. So that's really exciting. And probably doing one as well in English, because we had a training a couple years ago and we never have actually done a study. So be looking forward to that as well. Meet us in the back. You can sign up for various things, for the Spanish study, for our newsletter, and so forth. We'd be happy to get to know you. And there's also a place where you can donate. 100% of anything you give today will go to these churches, not to us, but to these churches. So anyway, looking forward to getting to know you in the back. Thank you.
Yes, Bob Landis is next, and what a heart for discipleship these two have. When I think there's different things that come to mind with different ministries, and we were just talking the other day is, you know, we're not all feet, we're not all hands, we're not all ears in the body of Christ, but God's gifted us in different ways, and Daryl and Denise in particular have this overwhelming focus and passion for discipleship and really growing people in the faith and loving on them and doing life with them. And sometimes that's messy. And I'm blown away, not just at your passion for it, but just, you know, like you said, the Lord's ways are just not our ways. You know, just this couple came here not to be a missionary, and then God's now using them to provide for other churches, other Christians and pastors, and come alongside them in their ministries in remote places of this country. I mean, it's just, who would have thought that, you know, at the beginning? And this is how God does it. So this is just incredible. So thank you so much for your faithfulness and all that you're doing. Amen. All right, Bob.
It was on. All right. So many great ministries, right? Very exciting stuff. Thank you, Brian. My name is Bob Landis, and I'm excited to share with you a little bit about Hurting World Ministries this morning. If you go to the next slide, very similar to the vision for our church, the mission for Hurting World Ministries is to lead people in our community into life-changing relationships with Jesus Christ through worship, through education, and through service. And I'll talk briefly about each one of those in a minute. Our goal was always to reach out to those in the community we saw that were most at need, and that very quickly led us to a focus on the Nobe community, as you've heard in some of these other ministries as well. And we do that across Cherokee. So how do we fulfill this mission? The next slide. First piece is worship. The Lighthouse Christian Church, high up on the mountain in Cañas Verde, where we offer weekly church services and youth group to about 100 families. Keep in mind, there were no Christians there 16 years ago. The pastors also do individual and family counseling. They provide intervention services for families. Might be emergency transportation down to the clinic or to David, to the hospital, emergency food intervention, home repairs, things like that. Importantly, the church is self-sustaining. The offering from all those families does pay the pastor's salary and the general ongoing expenses of the church. So praise God, exactly. Second pillar of our program is Lighthouse Christian School. So we operate a primary school for pre-K through sixth grade, right adjacent to the church. There are 32 students this year. We offer the same curriculum as the public schools, but we get to add, as a Christian church, Bible class, Christian music. We have a computer lab, which a lot of the public schools don't have. And when our school does marching band, the entire school does marching band. And they do like marching band. By the way, in the parade on the 3rd, they won 3rd place. We'll go to the next slide. And the 3rd pillar of the program is evangelism and community outreach. So the pastors host home-based Bible studies across Cherokee, Potrillos, David, Alange, every week. They're pretty busy every day of the week. Those groups have been steadily growing. We're cultivating groups of Christians in each of these places with the hopes of eventually planting another church, right? So this is just step by step, step by step. We have a series of community outreach programs that we offer through the year for the whole community on the mountain. That starts in January with Vacation Bible School. So that's not just our kids at the church invited, it's everybody in the community. Last year we started a community garden that ran from January to April. We will be doing that again because it was a huge success. A group of moms learned how to garden. They then got the produce to take, plants to take home. To create a garden at their houses and baby chicks for eggs. So every time we do that, we're hoping to increase the sustainable food supply for them. In June, we typically charter a bus and take a group of people down to the beach at Las Lajas. And in December, coming up very quickly, we have our community Christmas festival, where we provide a hot meal for everyone, dance and music, a lot of presents for the kids, piñatas. It's a great time. But we're not done. God's been putting on our heart that we should be thinking about what else we could do. So I think the next slide will talk to the fact that we just completed our 3-year strategic plan. And a couple of things that are on our hearts to continue to nurture are these. A community sports ministry in Palmyra. If you've been to the elementary school there, the government's just redone the sports court, so it's a perfect platform for us to come down the mountain, expand our reach to a different group of children and youth, and help the children fill their spare time with some wholesome team-based activities. Another program we're considering is health and wellness clinics in Cañas Verde. Folks there don't always seek medical treatment early enough, so little things become big things. So we find if we can do some early intervention and some wellness education, we think that would be very impactful. And then the 3rd new program we're considering is a vocational training program for youth. This is because when our students graduate after 6th grade and they go down here to Boquete to the high school, our only formal connection with them through high school is youth group. Each Sunday if they choose to come. So not only would getting them vocational training help them in their quest for jobs eventually, which is an obvious benefit, but for us it's an opportunity to stay connected to them, continue to mentor them through high school. And we all know that not only do you have academic, but there are little social challenges in high school. So we want to stay closer to that group until they graduate. So how could you help? I'm glad you asked. First, I'd love for you to be prayer warriors for us. Sign up for our newsletter, follow us on Facebook or Instagram so you know what's going on. Pray for our board, for our pastors, for our teachers, for our students, and mostly that God's will would be done, not ours, through this program. We welcome donations of cookies or bags of individually wrapped candy. Our Christmas festival is coming up, and that will go in, not the cookies, the candy, will go in the piñatas. The cookies will go on the meal table. And we'll start collecting school supplies right after Christmas. We have a shopping list for that that's on the table out back. And also clothing donations if you have anything like that, to donate like that. We have abundant volunteer opportunities. They include helping us at the Christmas party to distribute food and the gift bags to the mothers and the children. In January, assisting with Vacation Bible School, that community garden that I told you about. Or you could join the construction crew when we break ground for our new classroom, which will be coming up shortly. And I don't want to forget to mention the idea of just coming to visit the school. Just like Jim mentioned when he was speaking, when the students see visitors, they know that someone's talking about them. They know that they're important. That really makes them feel great. So we would welcome coming up to the school with us anytime. And lastly, student sponsorships or contributing to our new classroom project. I've been talking for months about the fact that our 12 kindergartners study in a little closet on the basement of the church, and we'd like to build a classroom on the back of the church on the same level with everybody else that's purpose-built for them so that they have the space for proper learning. And that's a project that we hope to kick off right after the beginning of the new year so it's ready for this upcoming school year. There is so much more that I would like to tell you, so I would like to invite you to stop by our table after church, and we'll talk more. Thank you so much.
Wow. Lots going on. Oliver and Zulma are up next. Connie Saverde is Hurting World Ministries. Ministry has been one of my favorite to watch because if you're new, you wouldn't know this beyond just what he's shared a little bit. But as he said, this ministry has been going on for 16 years. I've been here for a little over 10 years, and so it was already well underway when we moved here. But we've had the privilege over these last 10 years, and if you've been around for a while, you've seen it with us. I would say the vision and the focus of the ministry has totally shifted because many years ago it was totally evangelistic, trying to reach the people on the mountain. And from my perspective, and I think, and Bob's back there nodding, for the most part, it's been reached. And now those who are going to receive Christ have done it. Those who are going to reject Christ have done it. And now it's turned from an evangelistic focus primarily to a discipleship focus primarily, which has been so encouraging to see. They've not just continued the same thing. Okay, well, let's go somewhere else and keep doing the same thing. But they've evolved to meet the need in that area, and so they're walking with these students and their parents through life, discipling, which is so fun to see how that has shifted and how God has really worked powerfully in this ministry. So, thank you so much, Bob, Oliver.
Good morning. We are a family on mission, and the reason that I say that is because this is who we are. This is part of our identity. There were so many beautiful people many, many, many years ago that they invested in us when we were still young, and the power of the gospel can definitely change one individual, can change families, and then can change communities. And that's the reason that we do what we do, right? We are working with this incredible organization called Campus Crusade for Christ International. In the U.S. is known as CRU. In Canada is known as Power to Change. And basically our purpose is help to fulfill the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Spirit by a simple process. Win is how we connect people to Christ through a variety of ways. Also, build is related. How do we help them to growth in their faith? How they can have the basics of Christianity? And send, how do we encourage them to do the same with others so we can see the process of a spiritual multiplication? And the way that we do that, we are working with different strategies. The biggest ministry that we have within Campus Crusade is the campus ministry. We worked a lot with students for so many decades, helping the body of Christ to see more and more young people coming to the feet of the Lord, right? And also we are working with professionals. We're trying to reach business people, people of influence in our society, in the different spheres of society. We're working with church planting, helping the different denominations and part of the body of Christ to plant churches that also can multiply. And using the digital, how we can use our phones and our devices in order to reach the new generations using the technology. And one of the incredible tools that we have is called the Jesus Film. How do we help to translate more and more the languages where the gospel is not through this incredible tool? So in this season as family, we have been challenged to oversee the entire region of Latin America and the Caribbean. That means that we're working with 31 countries, and basically our job is incredibly interesting. We need to help all the ministry to work together, all these different strategies, working with athletes, with business people, with students. How do we help them to work together? And especially as we're aiming one single point, to really make an impact in the kingdom of God. And so in that sense, we are also helping to provide leadership to these countries. We're helping them to identify opportunities in every single country and make progress in the mission. Because at the end, what we want to see is that every year that goes by, we see new people coming to Christ, new people being discipled, and new people being sent in order to fulfill our mission. And one of the exciting things that we're right now looking in Latin America and the Caribbean is that we really want to mobilize the Gen Z. And I know that we're hearing a lot of bad things about this generation and a lot of discouragement, right? But let me tell you, God, it is He's at work. We have seen a 35% response of the gospel in our region. And this is exciting. This is amazing. Right now, we can go to different places, different countries, and still you will see people, young people, receiving Christ. Right now, we have seen a recent research that we have done with a partner organization, and we identified that students between 13 and 17 years old, these young people are still open to Jesus, they're open to the Bible, they're open to the justice, and so we want to be there for them. And that's why we are working so hard in order to establish the ministry in so many countries. Just to give you a panorama of what has been happening this year, I had the opportunity to be in Brazil by the half of the year, and looking how Brazil is growing from a few cities to be expanded in so multiple cities all over the country. God is at work. Just to think about Belize. I was in Belize a couple of months ago and see that the half of the population is under 25 years old. And the church and the leaders are saying, hey, come and help us. We need help about, you know, evangelism and discipleship. How can we go there and how can we really expand the mission in that country? I was two weeks ago in Honduras and El Salvador, and it was so beautiful to see how the ministry were reaching people of influence. I had the opportunity to meet with the head of one of the big campuses in Honduras, giving thanks to, hey, thank you so much for your work and what you do. Campus Crusade for Christ has helped me personally to grow as a person. Can you imagine a head of one of the top universities in the entire country? Then after that meeting, I went to meet with the top general of the military. And he had all these incredible stories of how he's reaching people in the military, reaching the military people in Honduras. And so, and then we had the time to pray together and just to see how he is so passionate about winning, building, and sending people in the military aspect. El Salvador, then we saw how God is raising a new generation of students that have been reached recently for Christ. And now they're just not only want to reach their entire country, but they're planning also to help Belize, and they're also planning to help Honduras, and they're planning to go to other countries in order to keep fulfilling the mission. Guyana is right now working right now with the body of Christ in order to reach the Muslim and Hindu communities. And this is happening right now. And I can go on and on. Cuba, I was there like a month ago and see our Cuban missionaries. Incredible. They have refused to leave their country, stay there to see transformation as they're reaching so many cities in the midst of this chaos. God is at work. Right now, we're trusting God for to see an internship program where we want to mobilize more than 200 students all over Latin America and the Caribbean after they graduate, so they can be serving the Lord for 2 years, deciding what is going to be after that. But for 2 years, we're going to have around 200 students all over the region planting around 500 campuses, extra campuses where we are not right now. Can you imagine new 500 campuses where we can reach thousands and thousands of students? That is part of the reality and the things that we're trying to do. Okay, so how can you support us? Well, first, you can pray for us as family. We're traveling in and out of the country regularly. Most of the times, I go by myself. Sometimes we go as family. And this is a spiritual battle. We recognize this. We're not fighting against flesh. We're fighting against really a spiritual environment where we're trying to get more ground for the gospel. So you can pray for us continually. You can support us financially on a monthly basis. Every time is a challenge for us every year just to keep doing this. And we have been trusting the Lord for all our needs, and we can talk more about that. If you are from Canada, you can support us through the mission there. If you are from the U.S., also you can support us from the U.S. Also, if you know other people that really have a passion for missions, and they have a passion to reach students, to reach influencers in Latin America and the Caribbean, you can talk to us after on the tables. And to close, let me say that almost half of the world hasn't heard yet the gospel. And in our scope, in Latin America, the Caribbean, we want to be in the 48 countries of the entire region, including the Caribbean. And Latin America and the Caribbean is becoming more a sending region and not only a receiving region. For decades, we have received so much help for the U.S. and for so many missionaries, but we are recognizing now that we are becoming one of the workforce of the entire world to help to fulfill the Great Commission. So you can be part on that. So I'm going to stop here because I talk too much. Thank you so much.
Wow, there's so many things I want to say. I'll encourage you to ask him about his infiltration strategies to the Middle East. I love hearing about that. To share the gospel there, and as you've shared before and kind of alluded to now, that the gospel really is moving toward the global south, and this is a hub. I mean, Panama especially, it's a hub for what he's talking about, this sending stuff. So God has really placed us in a unique place at a unique time, which is just incredible. What a privilege to be here and come alongside these missionaries and these ministries in this way. I'll say one more thing on the topic of financial support. This is something that's often confused, I think, with you, that because he's with Crew, it's the confusion is that you're a staff member or that you're paid or you're on salary. That's not true at all. He receives nothing through Crew. He is fully supported by people, by you. And so I commend to you financial support to him and to their family. They need that to live on. They don't have a salary. They just rely on faithful brothers and sisters to support them in all that they're doing. And there's a lot of expenses for what they're doing. All right, brother. Bob's next. And Bob is last.
Thank you. Good morning. Oscar, Oliver. Oliver, I got to chastise you, little man. You got to get more excitement and passion in your message. Bob Landis and I were in the back listening to him, just chuckling. I said, can you feel the excitement? I mean, it's just wonderful. Great message. All of them are great messages. We close Mission Sunday with a discussion now of our Faith in Action ministry. Now, this is the ministry where we ask all of you to go out and buy a bag of beans and a bag of rice every time you go to the store, so that we can give these to these associated ministries that you heard this morning to assist them in sharing the word of God with others. You guys have all been great in listening to all these talks this morning, so I'm going to keep this on the shorter side for you. And the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is one of Jesus' final commands to his followers prior to his ascension. I personally believe that every single person who's been gifted with spiritual rebirth by God incurs a spiritual obligation to assist in some way with the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. Now, I really like the way the Apostle Paul expands on this a little in Romans 10 when he says, how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Beautiful feet. Now, for many of us, we simply do not have the spiritual gifts or talents or even the availability of time to be those beautiful feet that go out into the world to share the gospel message. But this morning, we heard from all those who are part of this church who do have those gifts, who do have those talents to go out into the world and be those beautiful feet. The Faith in Action ministry was designed so that everyone in this church would have a practical way to assist those who spoke to you this morning in their ministry of sharing the gospel, so that they would have the tools of beans and rice that you purchase and put in those bins in the back, so that they can gather people to hear the word of God. And I'll tell you what I like most about this ministry. It's that it's not just giving money. Okay? There's nothing wrong, inherently wrong with money. But it can be impersonal. However, when you go out and personally buy a bag of beans or rice, you are helping to fill someone's physical appetite, fill their spiritual appetite, while they're listening to those beautiful feet that spoke to us this morning. And that special personal act of service, the going out and buying of a bag of beans and rice, should not only bring you real joy to your heart, but draw you closer to our God in your walk with him. At least that is the hope of the elders of this church. I would like to thank all the ministries that spoke this morning and ask that we all continue to support them, not only with beans and rice, but also with prayers, which are so important. I also want to thank all of you, the members of this church, because you have supported them. We recognize that. And I am convinced that this is one of the reasons that God looks down on this church and continues to bless it and protect it. So thank you all, and please do not forget, after this service is over, go out into the back patio and spend time with those beautiful feet. Thank you.
Yeah, with that microphone.
I'm sorry, I went blank. I couldn't remember what I was trying to say to you. It's Christmas time, and we have 150, 125 at least kids in these two groups that we buy Christmas presents for, and we buy them based on your generous gifts. So think about that. Thank you.
Amen, amen. I'll go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up, and we'll continue to respond and worship in just a moment. But as they're doing, I'll just follow up on the Great Commission with the Faith in Action. We just we love being able to use, you know, our heart with this, and I know the heart of the missionaries that use it is to follow Jesus' example. If you read through the Gospels and watch him, so often, you've probably heard it say, he's either going to or at or coming from a meal. Food was so central to what he was doing, but his strategy was so often to provide a physical need and use that. That was not the end. That was a means of getting to the spiritual end. And so one of Jesus's primary strategies that we would see, practically speaking, in the Gospels is that he meets a physical or a practical need, and that kind of earns him the capacity to share about himself. But it earns us the capacity to share the good news of the gospel as we do that. And that's the heart behind this ministry and the other missionaries and ministries that we partner with this. So we just commend it to you. When you're at the store, think about it, grab some, and bring it here. Amen. Well, let me pray real quick, and then we'll continue in worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for for all that you're doing. I'm blown away at everything I've heard this morning, and most of it I already knew about, and yet I'm still blown away. You're so active. There's so much going on, so much more than we tend to think is going on. It's so easy to just kind of disengage and not really think so much about it, and yet there's so many ways for us to be involved, not just in the church, but in outreach and in ministries. There's so many different missionaries that are in great need of our support, prayerfully, financially, boots on the ground, helping them with different things. And so, Lord, we praise you for what you're doing, what you've done. And I just pray that now that as we continue and move toward outside, toward the patio, I pray that you'll guide conversations and connect us with the right people that you want us to talk to and spend more time with, and use us as vessels to bless and encourage and love on these men and women, these servants of yours. And we just ask that you'll be glorified in it all. It's in your name we pray. Amen.